This is the part of the job that I like because I like coming up with promotional and marketing shit, and everything I propose, she took it. So that's cool. It's the rest of the shit that I'm tired of. If I could just do that, I'd be cool.
That's work. Work would be great if it wasn't for all these goddamn people.
Yep, exactly. Customers and having to do all that shit. Otherwise,
Yeah,
I'd be great.
that's the line from Clerks. I'm gonna mess it up. But yeah, what is it? This job would be great if it wasn't for the fucking people. That's why I absolutely love that movie. It is
Yeah.
one of my three favorite movies.
It's so
Anytime
real.
it's on, I will watch it. It is, I know Kevin Smith gets a lot of shit, but to me, that movie is absolutely perfect. And I'm seeing it through the eyes of the 20 whatever year old kid I was when I saw it. So yeah, I'm biased
Yeah.
completely. But I think the movie is absolutely brilliant.
Oh, listen, you are not alone. That movie, people, everybody loves because everybody can somehow, some way relate to a lot of the sentiments.
Yeah. And you can have never worked in customer service. You could have never worked in a convenience store, but there is something in that movie.
Yep.
And I think it crosses racial and socioeconomic lines. There is something in that movie that everybody can point to and go, oh yeah, I get that.
Yeah, man. You know what else is on that same level? Is shit. God damn it. Ah, escapes me the name of it. Where they work in the office.
Oh,
Ah.
Office Space, absolutely.
Office Space.
Oh
Office
yeah.
Space.
Yeah,
Yes.
absolutely. Yeah.
Yes,
Yeah.
yes. That's another great flick.
Yeah. I'm a huge Mike Judge fan.
Of course, of course.
Off of Beavis and Butthead alone. I just think it's brilliant satire. And just stupid funny too. I love stupid funny. I
Me
love
too.
absurd. But Office Space still holds up greatly. And Idiocracy is almost too on the nose,
Dude.
especially now.
Dude.
It's still funny, but it's still fun. But now it's funny in like a, oh shit, man.
Dude, like a this is happening. Holy shit. Damn.
Like, yo, like Mike Judge, if you have a time machine, you could have at least, warned us. And maybe he was warning us by putting out that movie when he did. But we're stupid as we've proven. So we needed a little bit something more overt than a movie that was predicting our future. But man, oh man, was he spot on with that piece of art.
You reminded me of that, and right away it clicked, the light bulb, and I'm like, oh my God, you're right. We're living in the middle of that shit.
Oh man.
That's in fucking sane.
It's just you watch it now and it's almost
Oh,
heartbreaking. It's
Jesus.
all it's just like, oh my God, we're not gonna make it, are we?
Nah, we seem to be regressing in intelligence as a species. That's hilarious.
Oh man.
Life imitates art very often, baby.
Very often and too often. And when it's too on the nose, man, is it depressing. Well, hell, we've already started the show.
Yeah.
But it is another edition of Quality Hang. I'm Rod Brooks, as always. I'm joined by my partner in crime, the King of New Orleans, Louisiana, the esteemed Marcus Osborne. What's up, man? How you doing?
Good. We are getting ready for Mardi Gras. I
Yeah,
actually
man.
went to a parade this weekend, or I saw a parade this weekend. It was Crew de Vu.
I am not familiar with that crew.
Crew de Vu is this is the adult parade.
Oh.
So this is where you saw the dude riding the gigantic plastic penis, or that's all the nudity. And I'm like, wow, there's a lot of condoms being thrown from this thing.
Or as we call that in San Francisco, Tuesday.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm
Exactly.
kidding.
What's funny is like, oh wow, the kids are here.
Well, I mean, sometimes it's hard for kids to go to adults to get condoms.
Yeah,
So,
they need them.
I mean, it's just you're standing on the corner of St. Charles and whatever, and all of a sudden a couple of condoms come your way and you're 15 years old. You're like, shit, this is my lucky day. This is great.
Real talk.
I don't have to go to the free clinic to get these bad boys. They just came to me.
Or I don't have to be 14 and be embarrassed to go buy some condoms.
Right.
At the liquor store. I got these freebies. Those ones you got at the clinic were trash. Oh my God.
Yeah, they were pretty bad.
Jesus.
But you know, those free clinic condoms did a lot more harm than good, because you try to use those bad boys and it didn't meet your personal and exacting specifications. And
yeah. Like,
you know what? I'm just going to ride the lightning and go without it.
Raw dog.
Just go take my chances.
What did Eddie Murphy say? I'm just going to throw my dick on the crap table.
Just throw it on the crap table, dog. And hope it don't come up snake eyes. Oh, geez. I haven't thought about free clinic condoms in a long, long time.
Dude, they were so cheap. Oh, my God. They came in all the different colors, which also drove me like, who cares? Why do I need a purple or orange one?
Yeah, why are you marketing condoms to kids with color? All right? It's like candy cigarettes. It's like these vape cartridges now that are like, you know, sassy strawberry and stuff. Like, no, just give us what we want. You don't have to zhuzh it up. Just give me what I need.
Yeah, for real, dude. Like, if the fear of becoming a teen daddy or contracting the clap does not scare you enough to get condoms, the colors ain't gonna do it.
Yeah. You just we're not birds, okay? Bright colors are not. That's not what we're thinking about at that time, okay? We're thinking about ease of use and practicality. That's
it. Oh my God! Actually, you know what I wish though? I wish that there wasn't like now. It's funny because if I was a teenager now, it wouldn't bother me. But I remember being a teenager back then because there was such a stigma just attached to sex in general, like. I knew that I should get condoms, but going to the liquor store or going to the store to buy them was always, I felt like I was embarrassed. Or even going to the clinic and I was almost like just kind of sneak a couple out on the way out. I'm like, why was I so worried?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, that's the great disservice that has been and is still being done in this country, that we are just, we're so stupid. And over emotional when it comes to sex, especially when it comes to teenagers and sex, that we just don't use common sense. And common sense tells you, because we were all teenagers at one point in time, common sense tells you making contraception, whether it's condoms or birth control pills or whatever, making contraception available to teenagers and available to them without stigma or without fear or anything of that nature, that's the smartest thing we can do in this country.
Sir.
And we just don't. Sir. I remember when I forget who I was doing sidelines for, whether it was Raiders or Niners. That's not the point. I was in St. Louis. It was the Niners because we'd go to St. Louis every year.
Yeah.
And I went into a Walgreens in St. Louis to get, like, I don't know, like, shaving cream or something like that.
Yeah.
And there were these two kids that went in there to get condoms. And they had to ask, it wasn't the pharmacist, they had to ask the clerk to get them condoms because the condoms were behind lock and key.
Come on, man.
I swear to God. And it might still be this way in Missouri. I was mortified when I saw this.
That's crazy.
And these kids, they were terrified, to my recollection, and I think I'm remembering this correctly. They were terrified to ask for this. The idiocy.
Yeah, man.
Of keeping condoms behind lock and key is weapons grade.
Yeah.
It's because that does nothing. It's not going to stop kids from having sex.
It's going to
stop kids from using condoms when they have sex.
Yeah, and maybe that's their whole thing.
Yeah, more than likely, you're correct.
Maybe that's their whole thing. We don't want you to use condoms. Because no, ain't nobody gonna stop having sex. That's just,
no.
That's just not
gonna. Nah. There's 8 billion people on this planet, so yes, that's sir. The truest statement that has ever been statemented.
They didn't just materialize.
No. Hey, the stork didn't bring them.
That's right. I don't know if y'all know. Jesus Christ.
Oh man. Let's get started as we always do with lifestyle. What you got, my man?
Yeah. So speaking of condoms, Valentine's Day as we record is right around the corner, man. It's funny, Valentine's Day, and I don't know how you feel about this. I have never been one of these people who like bitched about Valentine's Day. I always thought it was fun and cute, et cetera, et cetera. But more and more people, I feel like every year just go, it's just a Hallmark holiday. I'm like, wow, dude, it's actually about holidays in general, I guess, is people's general attitude now. But I'm like, this is kind of cool. Like, yeah, you should be thinking about the person you care about all the time, et cetera. But stuff like this is a really cool excuse to go do something fun. And I also think that when somebody says, don't get me anything for Valentine's Day, it's a trap. Don't do it.
You're like don't the fall. Character in Return of the Jedi, yeah. Mon Calamari. It's a trap.
Don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. Go and do something cool for Valentine's Day, even if it's something minor. Like, just don't fall for the trap. Save yourself the headache. And you know what? Even if they don't want something, or if they're saying, don't celebrate me for Valentine's Day, whatever, do something anyway. They'll appreciate the thought. That's the Marcus Osborne Valentine's recommendation for 2023.
No, I mean, no, you're 100% right. You know, if there's someone in your life that you love, and even if it's not in a romantic way, but if there's someone in your life that you unequivocally love, Valentine's Day should be the day where there is some expression of that love. But I equate Valentine's Day with New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Where
that's fair.
There's an intense amount of pressure on both to do something on both of those days. And when you do something either on Valentine's Day or New Year's Eve, it is amateur hour out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so like, okay, you know what? We're going to go to dinner on Valentine's Day. Well, God damn it. Everybody's going to dinner on
Valentine's
Day.
Yeah, don't do that.
Day. You know what I mean? It's the pressure to do something on New Year's Eve drives people away from New Year's Eve. The pressure to do something on Valentine's Day drives people, mainly dudes, away from Valentine's Day. Because let's keep it funky. And I'm not blaming this on the ladies, but the burden on Valentine's Day to show out falls on the dude.
Oh yeah.
And again, I'm not saying that ladies don't that ladies don't show out and there's that pressure on them to show out for their man or woman on Valentine's Day. I'm not saying that it's the ladies that's driving this narrative. I'm just saying it is what it is, and the pressure is mostly on dudes to show out on Valentine's Day, and that just makes a lot of dudes go, well, I ain't gonna do nothing. Which, to your point, is that's not the way you should look at it. You don't have to show out. Mm-hmm. Just show something. Just do something that lets that person know you appreciate them.
Amen. This is such a great analogy with Valentine's Day and New Year's Eve. Like, you learn after a few years of going through it that you don't have to go crazy.
Right.
That's what you learn. Now, that only comes with maturity. Yep. But like, the idea of going to dinner for New Year's Eve or Valentine's Day, already you tell me that you're an amateur, because all those, the price gouging that occurs on those holidays is insane.
Yeah.
You're dropping $250 for a meal for two. I mean, it's just insane.
And that's another reason why people, men and women, look at Valentine's Day now in a cynical way, because it is overly marketed. It is a lot of things are being pushed as, well, if you don't do something for Valentine's Day, then you are inadequate. Oh, and since we made you feel inadequate, why don't you buy this? You know, so you can feel adequate, and so we can put money, so we as a company that's doing this insidious marketing, we can profit from the inadequacy we made you feel with this 30-second or minute-long commercial. So, I completely understand the cynicism when it comes to Valentine's Day, because like a lot of things in this country that has made us cynical, we're cynical because institutions, in this case business, they've driven us to the cynicism because all they care about is money.
Every holiday has been somehow commoditized. Commoditized? Yep. Is that the word?
Sure.
Yeah, I'll roll with it. And somebody will hit us up and say, no, that's wrong. You fucking dummy. But
no, I know what you're trying to say. I just can't think of how to say the word without going fucking up too.
But all of them have, right? I mean, there's
co-opted. No, it's been Christmas. Co-opted. Yes.
Co-opted is good. We'll go with that. Christmas, there's no bigger commercial holiday than Christmas.
Yeah, we lost that a long time ago.
Yeah, no bigger commercial holiday than Christmas. I mean, shit. If you don't do something for, I mean, the pressure to do something for Christmas is insane.
Halloween's that way now, too.
Halloween! Yes! The parties you have to attend, the costumes you have to buy.
Mm-hmm.
And even things like Cinco de Mayo, which most Latino, most Mexican folks don't even, it's not even a holiday. And all this shit, St. Patty's Day, all these holidays have been turned into one gigantic commerce opportunity.
But here's the thing, though. Because what's the newest holiday we have in this country? Juneteenth.
Yes.
When are they going to get a hold of Juneteenth and just completely and totally fuck that up? Because you know it's coming. I don't know if we'll see it because Juneteenth is fairly new. I mean, it's only been a federal holiday for, what, 2 years? Maybe last June was the first year where it was a federal holiday. People got the day off. And so maybe, you know, we're talking 25, 50 years into the future. But there will come a day that Juneteenth is it going to go the way of Valentine's Day and Cinco de Mayo, or I should say Cinco de Mayo and St. Patrick's Day, or will Juneteenth in the future be cynically marketed like President's Day where you can go get mattresses and Oriental rugs for deep, deep discounted prices?
My guess is
on the latter.
Yeah,
where you know you could go get your Juneteenth on and buy yourself a car with no money down.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's Juneteenth. Come on, check out this Spike Lee Film Festival.
You know, it's the Juneteenth. Come refinance your apartment.
That's right. That one holiday that they have not managed to, and it's ugly when they do, is MLK. MLK Day, I have seen some of the grossest shit surrounding. Like, when I see some flyers, when I see flyers for, like, parties and club nights with MLK Day, and they got MLK in a goddamn chain. What the fuck are we doing?
I got to tell you, though. I saw those flyers, and for those who don't know, I mean, just Google MLK flyers, party flyers, and you know what we're talking about. And as Marcus said, there are these flyers for parties on MLK weekend, and it will have Martin Luther King in big gold chains. Oof. And there was one I saw,
oof,
and I have to admit, we were getting ready for one of our pregame shows.
Yeah.
And I was laughing with Dante Whitner at all of the flyers. And it was a genuine laugh, but it was also a laugh of, oh, my God. Because there was this one flyer where it was MLK, and he had on, like, a big Rolex and a bunch of chains.
Oh, my God.
And there was Rosa Parks, like, sitting at a table with a bunch of bottles and stuff, like she was at the club. And there was a picture of Harriet Tubman smoking a hookah.
Oh, my God.
It was the most outrageous thing I had ever seen. And I felt so bad about laughing about it. But, man, did we have a good laugh about that, because it was just so over the top. And it was just so ridiculous. And here is how unserious and contradictory I can be. On MLK Day, I'm just scrolling through Twitter, and I see a tweet from the Sacramento River Cats, who are the AAA affiliate for the Giants or the A's. I forget who they're with now, but they're a AAA baseball team.
Yeah.
And they put out a post, and it was a picture of Martin Luther King, and his right arm was outstretched. Okay, no big deal.
Right.
At the end of his right arm, on his hand, was a baseball glove.
Dude.
I tweeted this. I retweeted it. I'm like, no, come on, man.
Oh, now, dude.
Eventually, and it took him a day. It took him a full day. They deleted the tweet. But that goes back to your point that we are starting to get to the point now where the holiday and the man, you know, we are many years beyond his death, and we are many years now into MLK Day being a federal holiday that now people are giving it the President's Day or the Cinco de Mayo treatment, where it's not really being taken seriously.
Oh, man. It's so sad. And so ignorant. So ignorant.
Man, they had Harry Tubman smoking a hookah
that
to advertise a party on an OK weekend.
Hilarious. I'm not a fan of a hookah.
I think I've only done it once, and this was many, many, many years ago before it came popular. I knew a guy that had a hookah, and I didn't enjoy it.
Yeah, not a fan. I went to a hookah place over by Stanford, by the university, and this is a few years ago, and I'm like, this is not that much fun. And then somebody said, well, you just got to try it a couple times. So I tried a couple times. Yeah, not fun. Not my thing. Not my thing.
Yeah, I just it's just the communal nature of it that people vibe with. But yeah, it didn't do anything for me. And now that it's become popular, I've never thought, maybe I should check out one of these hookah joints. And also, I don't smoke, so
yeah, that too.
That also helps. Yeah.
And I don't like sitting in smoky rooms either.
I don't want to sit in smoky rooms. And I also, you know, I know they give you like the little mouthpieces. Everybody kind of has their own individual, or you can share. But I'm not, especially now in these COVID times.
Yes, sir.
Even though we're still in COVID times. I'm good.
You know, what's interesting is, I don't know if you've experienced this, but when I moved to California, and after I'd been in California for a number of years, leaving California and going to other places where they didn't have rules restricting smoking areas and stuff like that, oh my God, right. Yeah, it was like night and day. Yeah, like going from California to Vegas was, this was, Jesus Christ, I didn't know how good we had it in the Bay.
Yeah, and luckily around the country, even in Vegas, really.
Yeah.
They're starting to get wise, and there is just a lot less smoking, and you're going into a lot less smoke-filled areas. But yeah, when I would go back to Texas, you know, around the turn of the century, when California was really getting serious about no smoking indoors, they had already banned smoking inside of bars and clubs, and that was in, what, 97, 98? It took Texas and many other places a long time to get on that same train. I would go from California to Texas, and you would go into restaurants, and the no smoking section was basically separated from the smoking section by a walkway, by an aisle. And you're like, no, we're still in the smoking section. It's like, no, this is not working. No smoking indoors. Can we all agree? No smoking indoors. And luckily, we've all seemed to agree, except for, of course, North Carolina.
Well, I mean, shit, we grew up in the time where there was smoking sections of the plane.
Where the plane was a smoking section.
It's
like, forget about that. Forget about, like, there was a smoking section and a non-smoking section. The plane was the smoking section.
People don't know there were ashtrays on planes, Rod.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
They don't realize that. Shit is insane. Let's talk about some sports stuff.
Shall we? Let us do it.
There's so much shit, so we could literally take up the entire show talking about sports because there's so many things. But I guess, obviously, the bowl. Who you got?
Give me Kansas City and the points.
Ooh. I am so stuck. I think the Eagles are a better team. Mm. But something about that Patrick Mahomes, dude. Just give him a shot. I feel like he's going to – God damn it. You go say the Eagles, you say the Chiefs.
Give me the Chiefs, absolutely. All right.
You say the Chiefs, I'll say the Eagles, just to be different. But okay. I'm actually kind of feeling the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this is gonna be this is at the line of scrimmage.
Real talk.
The Eagles defensive line, those four guys, they're the best in football. On the flip side, Kansas City's offensive line is, along with the Eagles' offensive line, to be fair, one of the best in football.
Pretty good.
Give me Kansas City's offensive line with 2 weeks to prepare. Andy Reid, one of the best, if not the best, offensive line in football. 2 weeks to prepare that offensive line and Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
I'll take that over Jalen Hurts making his first start. As good as that Eagles offensive line is, and it is really good, that Kansas City defensive line with Chris Jones, who is a soon-to-be Hall of Famer, I could see that if it's not even, I could see Kansas City's defensive line making some hay in the fourth quarter as they did against the Niners a couple of years ago, and that giving giving Jalen Hurts some problems. I just see the Eagles as, to me, they are the better team, even though the Kansas City, in my mind, is the better team, even though the Eagles have some absolute talent on both sides of the football.
For me, it comes down to how each – well, first of all, I think the biggest thing in favor of the Chiefs is their experience.
Sure.
Not just with the team, but this is Andy Reid's third Super Bowl.
Right.
So nothing's going to surprise him. The concern for both teams is the injuries to the quarterbacks and how well they've healed and how much healing they've done. They're both significant injuries. Mahomes, obviously, his ability to run will be tested, and so will Jalen Hurts' ability to run because I don't know how good that shoulder is, and I don't know how much he's going to be able to throw either, which is what saved them against the 49ers, the fact that they were able to run and they got the 49ers quarterback out of there, so Jalen didn't have to throw that much. Yeah. Rest that shoulder.
I know it sounds like sour grapes coming from the Niners this week leading up to the Super Bowl, but if they didn't lose their quarterback, that game would have been a lot more of a challenge for the Eagles than it turned out to be.
For sure.
And, you know, because let's just keep it funky. The Eagles did score on a couple of touchdown runs, and those were touchdown runs where the running back was basically untouched. So credit to the Eagles. But when you look back at the entirety of the game, the Eagles averaged less than 4 yards per play. And so it's not like the Eagles carved the Niners up offensively on the ground. And as you mentioned, they didn't do anything, or Jalen Hurts didn't do anything through the air of great significance or import. So the Eagles are – they have yet to be tested in these playoffs. And that's not to downplay what the Eagles have accomplished, but it is what it is. They played a game, an NFC Championship game, where the opposition didn't have a quarterback, and that was due to the Eagles' ability to rush the passer. Mm-hmm. And they beat a Giants team in the divisional round that, for all intents and purposes, they had to be in the playoffs because, well, you have to fill out a playoff field. So this is going to be the strongest test the Eagles will have seen this year. It was clearly the strongest test they've seen in these playoffs, and I think Kansas City is just the team to hit all their pressure points.
I actually agree with you, and I actually think this is the best, biggest test for either team. I don't think either team has played a team as good as the other until this point in the year. Also, the other thing with the Chiefs is how the injuries to their receiving core will be affecting the game, because they got a lot of injuries. Because that's another great thing, amazing thing about Mahomes. He was out there playing with third stringers.
As long as Travis Kelce is healthy, and he is, they're going to be all right in the receiving. They'll be fine. They'll be fine.
Yeah, my gut tells me don't bet against Patrick Mahomes.
No,
but
don't do that.
But I think my logic tells me I should probably go with the Eagles. So if you pick the Chiefs, we'll make it interesting. I'll go with the Eagles.
All right. That's good enough. The NBA making some news this time of year with the trade deadline and such. As we record this, Kevin Durant is now a member of the Phoenix Suns. Trade overnight, or late last night again. As we record this on, what's today, February 8th? Yeah, sure, February 8th, February 9th, Thursday, February 9th. Kevin Durant goes from Brooklyn to the Phoenix Suns. That's where he wanted to be anyway. He tried to force a trade over the offseason to Phoenix. The Nets said no, but that was before the Nets finally pushed the detonation button on the Kyrie Irving experience, because now Kyrie Irving is a member of the Dallas Mavericks.
Wow, dude, wow. Is anybody really shocked?
No, you shouldn't be.
Nah, shouldn't be shocked at all. And this is kind of the reason that I say that neither of these guys will win another championship. They are not stable enough emotionally to manage this type of situation. They can't be leaders of a team. They can't be.
Well, now Kevin Durant doesn't have to be the leader of the team.
And that is why But unfortunately, the leader is Chris Paul, and we know how that goes.
It's funny because it's true.
I hate to say it, dude, but it's so real. And they gave up a significant amount of defense. Did the Suns? They were not great this year. I mean, like everybody else in the West, like everybody in the NBA, to be completely honest, mediocre at best. Mm-hmm. And now you're trading away their best defensive players. I don't know, dude. I don't feel like this is going to do much for them at all. They'll score a lot more, but who are they stopping?
Well, they have an eraser on the back end and DeAndre Ayton, the Suns do. So I'm sure that factored into their motivation, which is if we're giving up perimeter defense, that's not ideal, but at least we have someone on the back end that could be somewhat of a deterrent, whether it's from a mental standpoint or actually from a physical standpoint in blocking shots. Phoenix had to do something to get better, because I think what was proven last year when they flamed out against the Dallas Mavericks is that they, you know, when you get them to the edge, you can push them over. Denver has proven to be the class of the Western Conference, and I think in a seven-game series, that was going to be proven in the seven-game series, hypothetically, with Phoenix, that was going to be proven emphatically. So to me, you can never go wrong getting one of the greatest basketball players of all time. And it matters what you think about Kevin Durant, the person, and his mercurial nature. He is simply one of the greatest, 10 greatest in my mind, basketball players of all time. Definitely one of the greatest scorers of all time. So to get him in the mix with Booker and with Chris Paul, to me, that's something that Phoenix had to do.
Yeah, they're definitely going to put some points on the board. It's going to be a pinball game over there.
And who in the West is stopping anybody? You just got to call them what it is.
I think I said this earlier. I just feel like everybody's mediocre in pro sports right now. Everybody's just some level of mediocre. And the fact of the matter is, Denver is the class of the division of the conference, and that boy Joker.
Ain't no joke, dog.
Nobody better than that dude.
Well,
ain't nobody better than that dude. Come on, who better than that dude?
you give me Giannis all day, every day. As great as Nikola Jokic is, and he is great, no doubt. If you took Jokic and you gave me Giannis, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that trade. But boy, I like I said, this kid Joker controls the game unlike any player in the game. And taking nothing away from the force that Giannis is, but in terms of a guy, he and Luka, those guys just control the game.
Yeah, they understand pace. They understand all flow.
It's amazing.
They absolutely get that. And again, if you gave me either one of those guys, but again, just to kind of make it a binary thing, if you know between Jokic and Antetokounmpo, either one of these guys, you are absolutely cooking with gas. But to me, I think because Giannis makes it look so easy. And he's done it now for what, half a dozen years?
Yeah.
We forget truly how impactful that guy is and how truly difficult he is to stop.
Oh, he cannot be guarded. Like once he's in, like Shaq, if he's in the post, he's beating you, period.
If he's in the open floor, you are cooked.
It's a rapidy. It's a complete rap. I'll tell you, though.
Absolutely over.
I am curious about this Kyrie move. For me, it just Durant, that makes sense from a team standpoint. But Kyrie doesn't quite, because he's too ball dominant. How do you have this ball dominant backcourt? Unless Kyrie is suddenly going to become a spot up shooter. When he's in the game with Luka, I don't really see how this works out well. Because
what if Luka becomes that spot up shooter?
Nah, it's never happening. You can forget that.
I'm just saying it could.
Yeah, it could, but it's not. You know, it's not going to happen.
I mean, but this doesn't move the needle with me, because again, this is along the lines of the Mavericks had to do something. They could not go any farther with that team around Luka as it was at the time, currently constructed. Does it make him better? Sure, because Kyrie Irving, again, forget what you think about him as a person. Kyrie Irving is a phenomenal basketball player.
Yes.
So they get better in that regard, but they're not better than Denver. They're not better than Phoenix right now with Kevin Durant. And Dallas is not better than the Clippers.
No. Nope.
Who, by the way, just acquired Bones Highland, a good young player, a good tough young player from the Nuggets. That just came down here. We're only a couple hours.
Oh, really?
Trade deadline. Yeah. So, and the Warriors have traded James Wiseman. This is like my old radio days. The Warriors have traded James Wiseman to the Pistons for Sadiq Bey, a rough and rugged type of individual. And so the Warriors, you know, you're still going to have to reckon with them. And we'll get to the Lakers here in just a second because they made a trade that I think makes them better. So the West is, you know, the East is, it's Philly. Really, it's Milwaukee and it's Boston. The West is once again the rough and rugged and wild West because there has been a significant arms upgrade here in the West over the last couple of days here leading up to the trade deadline.
Yeah, the Wiseman thing I hadn't heard yet. That's an interesting
that
trade.
That literally just happened.
That's an interesting – and you know what? Good for him.
Yeah, he wasn't going to play. Steve Kerr wasn't playing James Wiseman.
and I don't blame him. And I don't blame him. I don't – like, none of these young players have really been good enough to put on the floor other than Kuminga.
Yeah.
I mean, you gambled that these guys would progress this year. It didn't work. Got to go.
Yeah.
Got to go.
He was – what was he, the third pick in the draft?
Second pick, baby.
Second to pick.
And listen
– played a game and a half of college basketball.
Wow. He may be great. He may turn out to be great. I just think he was it was a numbers game. He's in a position where A, you can't be hurt all the time when you're a young player. It's just not gonna work for you. If you're hurt all the time, he's basically missed two seasons because of injury.
Yeah.
And then the times he's able to play, as soon as he gets back in, he's out again with injury. So yeah. And then he never progressed. He's terrible on defense. Just god awful.
Yeah, he didn't know how to play, which shouldn't be a shock considering the fact he didn't play a whole hell of a lot of basketball. before after they drafted him, and then he didn't play a whole lot of basketball due to injury after they drafted him. So the James Wiseman experience and experiments, we hardly knew ye.
Well, and also they save a bunch of money too. So
yeah, they do save a bunch of money.
Which again, I'm not mad at, Rob, because let's face it, you paying that kind of money for a dude who's not producing, you got to go.
Let's go. Let's get to LeBron. Tape this, is now the NBA's all-time leading scorer. He passed the great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar a few days ago. You know, listen, as far as I'm concerned with LeBron, you say he's the greatest player of all time. I'm not going to argue with you because he has all the bona fides for all of that. And when you have one of the important records in American professional sports, when you're the all-time leading NBA scorer, a league and a game that is all about scoring, when you and you pass one of the greats in Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you have cemented your legacy as one of the greatest of all time. Is LeBron the greatest to me? No. I'm still going to go with Michael Jordan for these reasons. Jordan dominated in an era where guards were not supposed to dominate. The NBA was still a big man's game. And he came in and almost immediately dominated. For him to do that at that time, and also compared to LeBron, Michael Jordan was a superior defender. There is no question about that. Being a superior defender and dominating in an era in which he did makes Michael Jordan the greatest of all time for me. When it comes to LeBron, and this is not to throw shade on anything LeBron has accomplished, but he has, I believe, benefited from an NBA where it's not as rough and tumble as it used to be, and it is more perimeter-oriented. And while LeBron is a big guy and thought of as a forward, LeBron is really a perimeter player. And this is a game where when you have his size and his skill combined with how the game has changed and how the rules have changed to make it easier for perimeter players to dominate, and with the three-point line that he has benefited from to become the NBA scoring leader, to me, that has made it, for lack of a better way of putting it, easier for LeBron's dominance and greatness, because he is great, to come through. And then I will give you Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Those are my top three. It is Mike J, it is LeBron, and it is the great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. But if someone wants to say that LeBron James is the greatest of all time, I'm not going to argue with you because he is a truly, truly great basketball player, as evidenced by the fact he's the number one fucking scorer in the history of the NBA. And Jesus he's Christ. Played for 20 years and he's still playing at a ridiculously high level. Got to tip your cap to that. If you hate on that, I don't know what to say in regards to that.
And he's gonna put that record so far away from people.
Yeah, he's gonna get well over 40,000 points.
I mean, 25 points a game for 20 years is insane. It's insane. And still can do it. Like, easily put up 25 points a night if he wanted to.
Of course.
And that's the thing about, like, great scorers. Guys like him and Durant and others. These are the folks who can put up points with ease. If they chose to put up more, they probably could and would.
Can we put Steph in that discussion too?
Absolutely. I think that Steph is small and we don't really think of him as that way, but that's another dude who could pretty much put up 40 points, 35 points a night if they wanted to. There's a handful of guys who can do it. And there's really not a whole lot you can do about these folks. Jordan, Kareem, quiet as kept. If Magic Johnson had wanted to be a 25-point-a-night scorer, he could have.
Mm-hmm.
He could have. He chose not to. I mean, and even when his career ended, I think he was close to 20. What was it, 17, 18, 19 when he retired?
Yeah.
So, and he almost averaged a triple-double for his career. So that's my favorite player of all time, Magic Johnson. But if you tell him, like, I'm with you. I'm at a place in hoop where it's become really like the thing to put guys on these lists. If you give me Jordan, Magic, LeBron, Kareem, Russell, any of those guys, fine. I have zero problem with any of those folks being named as the greatest of all time. It absolutely doesn't bother me at all.
Absolutely.
I would love to have seen, Magic and LeBron have such similar games. It would have been interesting to see those guys play in their own separate eras. Seeing LeBron, I still think that, and you know, I have a theory about this. I don't know if we talked about this. I have a theory about this, the scoring in the NBA. And people are saying that it's too easy to score. I think that, the three-point shot has made it easier. And people talk about hand-checking. But you know what I think has made a big difference? The three-second rule. I think that's been the biggest difference.
Oh, yeah, three-second rule, and also the fact that illegal defense is no longer a part of the deal. All right, let's transition into the wonderful and weird world of pop culture. What you got for us, my man?
So you remember a couple of years ago, the whole Free Britney movement, right?
Yes, I do.
And I was actually one of those people like, no, let this chick out. She needs her freedom. And maybe we was wrong.
No, there ain't no maybe about it. We was wrong, man.
Maybe we were all wrong.
That poor girl needs some serious help.
She's got the Kanye, and we kind of took that for granted. But that's what it is, and that's why she was on lockdown all those years. And now, in hindsight, it all kinds of makes sense because what we're hearing now with the family trying to do an intervention, maybe a medical intervention and all this stuff, and her new husband is trying to has her on suicide watch. It's crazy.
Yeah, man. I mean, she's clearly damaged, and I don't know, and it would be reckless of me to speculate how she got to be so damaged. But it's clear that Britney Spears' life from when she was a child has been problematic, and that's why she's in the position she's in right now. I didn't spend a whole lot of time thinking about Britney Spears when she was under conservatorship.
Yeah.
But normally when these things happen, they happen for a reason, and they happen for a good reason. And, listen, her dad, I don't know what's up with him, but I always think that a parent is going to have their child's best interest at heart. And it sure seemed like, now hindsight, especially with Britney Spears' her most recent behavior, hindsight is now really informing us that maybe her pops, I forget his name, but Mr. Spears, for identification purposes, knew what he was doing. And that whole idea of she's being controlled and free Britney, that was just a lot of people who didn't know the situation and really weren't thinking about her as a human being. They were just kind of thinking about her as this source of entertainment, as Britney Spears has been her entire life. But, you know, you see these clips where she's clearly having episodes in restaurants, and she'll put out these Instagram videos that are just that are just weird. You know, sometimes she's naked, sometimes she's dancing, sometimes she's dancing naked. And it's just like, yo. And then, you know, as you mentioned, you have people who are, for whatever reason, they think they're doing right by her, but they're not. Like, what about these clowns that actually called the police to have them show up at Britney Spears' house to do a welfare check on her? Like, what kind of a moron are you to do that? This is a human being we're talking about here. You're not helping with all of that.
And, you know, it's weird because we all like to think that we won't get suckered by propaganda and shit, but it just goes to show that anybody is vulnerable to it if you hit them in the right spot with the right sort of story behind it. They did the whole documentary about Britney Spears and how her dad was... you know what? To be frank with you, two things can be true, right? Mm-hmm. Her dad could have been a crook trying to take all of her money, and Britney Spears absolutely, clearly, was a person who needed to be under medical surveillance and can't obviously be trusted to do things in her home responsibly for long stretches of time. But it shows that, you know, all it takes is the right sort of propaganda to really develop a movement and get things to happen, because the only thing that made that stuff happen was the fact that all these people jumped on board and started protesting. And of course, Britney was on her meds at the time, so everything looked okay. But in hindsight, dad was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm done. Y'all go ahead. I'm done. I'm out of here.
Yeah, I mean, and that must have just been horrible for him. Again, if we're assuming he's on the up and up, mm-hmm. that, you know, he's doing something that he thinks is in his daughter's best interest and will ultimately protect her and keep her from harming herself. Yet there's so many people outside of the family who think they're advocating for what's in Britney Spears' best interest, which is to get her out of the conservatorship, when clearly that wasn't the case. Right. And he just has to go, I literally cannot fight these people. I cannot fight these zealots. And that's what they were. They were, it was zealotry type behavior towards a person that all of those people who were on this Free Britney bullshit, they never met her.
Yeah.
you have no idea who she is.
And they were going on the things that she was putting out on her social media. And we all should know by now, when folks are not right mentally, they'll say some stuff, and they are victims, and they are paranoid, and they will say all kinds of things to make themselves seem like the victim. And then you come to find out, okay, well, maybe you aren't the victim that you portrayed yourself to be.
Man, you know, though, it's, again, I don't think about it, but I would really hate to turn on my phone or flip open the laptop and see that she is no longer with us, or she has gotten into some trouble where she is seriously hurt. And you would hate for her to go down the road of Michael Jackson.
Yep.
You know, and other people who had been famous for a long time and who got that fame initially when they were very, very young and ill-equipped to handle it, and more to the point, ill-equipped to deal with the people around them as a child who did not have that child's best interest at heart.
And can you imagine, Rod, like, one of the things I've always sort of empathized and sympathized with child stars about was the fact that people forget that all of us fuck up when we're kids. Mm-hmm. And we don't do it under the public spotlight. But because I'm sure if any of us were under the spotlights that some of these kids are under at those same ages, who knows what kind of shit would be coming out about us. So to have to deal with that public scrutiny and being, as Britney Spears was, literally the biggest star in the world at the time, being that big, having that much public attention, going through puberty, going through your teens and your 20s in front of the entire world, and on top of that, having to deal with whatever sort of emotional, mental issues that she's dealing with, which is what got her hospitalized the first few times. I can't imagine how people come through that on the other side with any kind of sanity.
But let's just keep it real and let's just keep it funky. The fact that she was overly and overtly sexualized as a young girl is fucked up, dog. It's fucked up. It's fucked up. I listen, I remember when she hit.
Yeah.
And I remember people would have, you know, like countdown clocks.
To her virginity.
No. To when she turned 18.
Mm-hmm.
To when they could legally,
yeah,
in the law's eyes, you know, and openly creep on her.
Yeah.
Before that girl, because she was a Disney star before she started doing the pop singing, right?
Mm-hmm.
For, you know, they people had been sexualizing her since she was 12, 13 years old. Yo, man, that's going to fuck with your head. That's 100% going to fuck with your head. And then you go from Disney, you know, princess, if you will, to pop culture stardom, and you haven't turned at 18, yet you know people are literally trying to have sex with you. I can't imagine how that just fucked her head up. I can't.
I remember the stories where they were talking about whether or not she was still a virgin, and that was a big story for like for a couple
of weeks.
When she was
gross.
When she was with Justin Timberlake, and they were literally asking her if she was a virgin, like, wow, this is like, this is crazy. What are we doing? You know, it's kind of cringy. Like, you go back and watch some old interviews, like every now and then, I'll see like an old Barbara Walters clip, etc. And God rest her soul, where she rest in peace. But some of the stuff that Babs was asking, like Brooke Shields and other people, was pretty cringy, dude. Like, in hindsight, wow, the balls to ask some of these people this very personal, private stuff.
I didn't get the whole Barbara Walters genuflection when she passed. Yo, man, she used to ask some real wild shit to people. Yeah. she was, you know, people, oh my gosh, she was such a brave journalist. Like, hey, you know, she was kind of a messy bitch at times. I mean, let's go ahead and be honest about it.
Sure.
And that was just one example that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I remember a few interviews where she was like, oh, wow, these are some really cringy questions. I remember an interview with Richard Pryor where she was asking some really cringy stuff about the N-word. I'm like, wow, you pushing it, baby. You pushing it hard. I just hope, excuse me, Robert, just put a potato chip in my mouth.
No, thank you.
I just hope, in all seriousness, I really, really hope that Britney Spears gets whatever medical assistance or help that she needs. And if ends up being where she needs to be put back into the hospital, I'm not even saying she needs to be thrown back under conservatorship, but if she needs to be hospitalized again, I pray that the right people are around her who really do have her best interests at heart, because those folks are very, very vulnerable.
Yeah.
And they think that they're in control of everything, but they're easily manipulated by yes people.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And how sad is it that she seems to have no relationship with her sons?
Man.
And the reason she has no relationship with her sons is because her behavior is so erratic and has been so erratic over these past, you know, however long it's been, months or a couple of years or what have you. So no, it's a sad story, and you just hope like hell it doesn't get sadder.
I got something fun to talk about.
Lay it on me.
When did the State of the Union address become parliament?
Oh, you mean like the band or what they do over there in
what they do in the UK. Literally having fights and arguments as one. It's insane what's happening. Like, the GOP can't shut the fuck up when somebody's speaking during the State of the Union address.
Yeah, you know what? Let them scream. Listen, I've said this before and I will continue to say it. Yeah. Allow these people to show how idiotic they are by continuing to speak, by continuing to post on social media. Let them do themselves in. And I will continue to say it once again, because Joe Biden played them like a fiddle when he called them out on cutting Social Security and Medicare. And then they were like, no, not us. And he's like, oh, okay, well, since you say not us, then we all agree we're not gonna touch it.
Right.
Like, he played them in front of God and country, literally. These people are not smart. I'm not saying they're not dangerous, but they're not smart. And the people that I fear are the ones who are devious and smart. Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's like, to me, it's like power is nothing without control.
Yeah.
You can be dangerous, but if you don't have the mind to be able to be dangerous and do it intelligently, then really how dangerous are you? What you are, you're just a moron, just going around doing stupid stuff. So again, these people are dangerous, but they're not intelligent. And as long as they are operating at an intelligence deficit, then I'm just like, hey man, keep yelling, keep shouting, keep doing all that shit. I don't care, because what it proves is A, how retrograde you and your opinions are, and also how unintelligent you are. Let everybody see that.
I think what it points out, though, is that for some reason, this is a country, and I can only speak for this country, but for some reason, this is a country that thrives off of toxicity and negativity and negative energy. It gets so much more acceptance. It gets so much more reverence. Like, if you, the idea of just being mad about something really gets people ignited. Mm-hmm. Like, you could pretty much say, call bullshit on anything. Like, literally, I could say the sun is hot and you can get 20,000 people on my side going, nah, the sun is not hot. That's bullshit. That's your fake science. And I'd have 20,000 people jumping up supporting me. Like, I don't know what that is. I don't know what that's about. I don't know if it's natural to, is it just human nature, or is it an American cultural thing where you just have to shit on every single thing that's factual just to be a contrarian, or just because you're a cynic, or just because the person delivering the message is a person you don't like. I don't know what it is.
It's a combination of all of those things. I don't know if it's necessarily just a United States thing. I think that we have over the past 10 to 15 years, with the rise in social media, we've had people who just like to be assholes, and they don't want to argue and discuss things in good faith. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They want to be bad faith actors, because, you know, listen, there's a reason that people look at the Joker, the fictional supervillain that Batman deals with. There's a reason they look at him, he tried to say,
yeah,
as a hero, because he's a provocateur. And there are people, especially now with social media, you can do this on a wider scale and you can do it anonymously. There are people who really, they get their rocks off doing that kind of stuff. And there are people in our government, just like there are people in our media, that thrive on that type of chaos and thrive on being bad faith actors and not engaging in these very important and big discussions that concern our country and the people in our country. There are people who vibe off of not being serious about these very serious discussions. And now, because you can get famous off of it, and you can monetize being an asshole, being a bad faith actor, people look at that as oh, well, that's something I can do for employment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like people look at now, I could be an Instagram influencer.
Yep.
I'm like, oh shit, I can do that.
Yeah.
Well, now people look and go, I can be a professional troll.
Yeah.
And I can be a politician and have power by being a professional troll.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, shit, let me get in some of that.
Exactly. There's a very interesting, weird, dark side attraction with humanity. Like, it's like the bad boy syndrome in almost every single thing we do. Like, there's just people who are just drawn to whatever is bad, whatever is negative, and they just glom onto it. And it's a weird thing. I would love to see some sort of study as to what attracts people to that type. What attracts people to a Donald Trump? What attracts people to, like, you know, when you're in high school, the chick who keeps going out with the dude who she knows is bad, or vice versa, the guy who keeps going out with a chick he knows is toxic. What is it about us that attracts us to those dark sides?
Low self-esteem, low intelligence.
You think it's just that simple?
Yes, I do. Mm. Yeah, I do. I listen, there are people who like being told what to do.
That's true.
There are people who, there's a reason that fascism speaks to a lot of people in this country, because they want someone to lead them, to tell them what to do, because they don't believe they can make an intelligent decision for themselves. There are people who enjoy having their leaders tell them what to do, because they, as individuals, lacked the intelligence and the courage to do what they want to do. It's a lot easier to have somebody, especially somebody you hold in a place of high regard, it's a lot easier to have that person tell you what to do than it is for you to look at this big, bad, scary world and go, well, what should I do?
Right.
You dig what I'm saying? And, oh, yeah, and you know, sure. And again, I will equate it to what you just brought up. You know, that person that is seemingly unnaturally attracted to someone they know is bad for them. You only gonna put up with somebody who's bad for you if you feel bad about yourself. You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah,
if you love yourself and you know yourself and you know what yourself is worth, you ain't gonna put up repeatedly with somebody doing bad by you. Catch my drift?
I agree with that. I think that that's true for the average person. I wonder though that what other sort of mental or emotional deficit these other people that have that may get sucked into these conspiracy theories and
low self-esteem and lack of intelligence. You will only believe that the earth is flat if you're a fucking moron. Dig what I'm saying? You will only truly believe that we didn't go to the moon if you're a fucking moron. And people with low self-esteem, they want to believe and they want to be a part of something because, well, they can't go out and do it themselves. So if they can find a group that believes in something that no one else will believe in, well, look, I done found my people. Now I'm a part of something. But yo, if you really believe in yourself and you believe in the intelligence that you possess, and you believe in the knowledge that you've gained, you will look at something like America did 9/11 and go, really? Because you have the ability to critically think. Because you have the ability to literally do your own research, not just say I do my own research, to actually say I'm going to research that and then actually go about doing it. You have the ability to critically think, and people who don't critically think are the ones who are susceptible to bad faith politicians and bad faith information.
I also think there is a huge element of bias, confirmation bias involved with all this stuff. It's very easy to, if you are someone who is feeling like, you know, society doesn't treat them well, or doesn't treat them equally, and you get someone standing up saying the things that you think, you don't have to start thinking. You're like, no, that's right. They're right. Saying what I've been thinking for years. They're right. I'm glad somebody's finally saying the truth. Yeah. I listened to Sarah Huckabee Sanders the other night.
Oh, there's your first problem.
And I just go, these folks, and what scared me was that this was broadcast all over the country, you know, the whole Republican response. And I listened to them, like, God damn, this is what she's saying is insane. It's a battle between the crazy people and the normal people, and they're the normal ones. It's nuts. And the thing is that there's going to be 49% of the population is going, yep, she's right. And no matter who it is, every single election, every single politician who's thinking the way she does, they're always going to be able to get 49% of the people believe them. And that's a scary thing.
Yeah, that's an ideology, and yeah. A number of people who believe in that ideology, where you look and go, wow, that's too close for comfort. Yeah. But again, to me, these people are so unintelligent, I just can't find a way to fear them. I just can't.
And with that, I hope you and the fam have a great Valentine's Day.
Absolutely, my friend. Same to you and yours, and also to all of you out there. Much love to all of you for checking out the podcast. Indeed, it is Quality Hang. Make sure you follow us on all the socials and the like. My friend, we shall do it again next week.
Yeah, man.
All right, my brother, be good. And all of you out there, be good or be good at it.